when Brother Harold called. And I think one of the first things I said was, you must have got to the very bottom of your list. And I was reminded the last day and a half that that's the reality, I feel like. I've heard some awfully good preaching. Haven't we heard some good preaching? I have been very much humbled. I've been convicted. Isn't that what's supposed to happen, though? If we're coming here to just get patted on the back, you can do that by listening to folks on the radio and the TV, and they'll smile at you and make you feel really good. But we preachers, a lot of times, only preaching we hear is our own voice. And while I will admit, more often than not, I'm preaching from the pulpit, I'm preaching to myself, my congregation doesn't always understand that. They think I'm preaching to them. But no, I'm really preaching to myself, because I'm one of y'all. But we have heard some stuff in the last few days that has caused me to pause. Number one, I've thought, I'm really not worthy. But if I ever get in the pulpit and think I'm worthy of being in the pulpit, I've gotten that big head that we were warned about. But we got off the phone with Brother Harold on an unplug, an unscheduled yet very important 8-year hiatus vacation. I stopped, got off the phone, and when I hung up, I talked to my wife, and I said, that was Brother Harold. She said, what did he want? I said, he asked me to preach at the conference. She looked at me. Did he call the right number? I said, let's pray about that. Well, while I was sitting there in the driveway waiting, the Lord began to give me scripture and a structure, and I wasn't listening to somebody else preach. And then I started questioning. You ever question God when he starts to give you something? You go, you really want me to preach that? Really? But the Lord blessed, and over the last week, and when I've been able to squeeze time in for this particular purpose, the more convinced I was and convicted I was that this is needful. And if we look at current events, we are reminded ever more so. I'm preaching this morning from a passage that ought to be familiar. If you've been ordained as a preacher or pastor, you've probably heard this passage. If you go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I have found some encouragement this week, especially getting here. I've heard so much. One of the greatest ones, though, I heard was the one preacher that didn't preach to us. Brother Harold told us a story. I'm going to tell you, that story for many of us is a familiar story. Our verses may be a little worded different, but we've all experienced those kind of trials if you've done what this passage is about. And if you've noticed and paid close attention, there's been a common thread in every preacher we've heard. You know, I host a conference from time to time, and I give a topic, at least, or an umbrella. Brother Harold calls you up and says, come preach. And yet, the Lord is amazing and gracious and wonderful to provide a connecting point. What's the obvious connecting point? Well, our Savior Jesus Christ and His power to save, His power as the sovereign God. But there's been another theme underneath that surface, and it's the title of this message, Preach the Word. Preach the Word. So let's go ahead and get into our core passage for this morning, and then we'll do my best in the power of the Lord to speak forth from it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Lord God in heaven, I am so very grateful for the opportunity to be here. Whether I stood behind the pulpit or simply sat in a pew to be instructed and preached to like is needful, Lord, I'm thankful for the faithfulness of Lee Creek Baptist Church and Brother Harold for putting this on, putting themselves out for the sake of others. Lord, what a great model of servant attitude. And Lord, I am thankful that we have heard some incredibly good preaching this week, that we have heard convicting messages that help us to remember our place, to not get too big ahead, to have a right view of Christ, to exalt Him in all that we do, to be reminded as preachers to be regularly repenting. Lord, help us to remember that the attitude of prayer is one of remembering the Holy Spirit is there to make up for our total inadequacies in that. But Lord, right now, as we are reminded of the core purpose of a pastor and a preacher, may we be not just reminded, but encourage us to stand strong and to run the race that you've set before us with all of our hearts, body, soul, and mind. And Lord, help us to remember who we are serving. For it's in the name of Jesus, our Holy Savior, I pray. Amen. I believe the command here to preach the word really is a set of commands that was laid out here. And it's every bit as important today as it was the day that it was penned. These words to young Timothy match so well the idea that Scripture is timeless. You want the answer to every single issue we face today? It's not, as some so-called preachers would do, is randomly pick a scripture. This sounds good. Read it and then go off on some tangent using their pulpit in a bully format and abusing scripture. The command here is to preach the word. Why? Because it is true. It is 100% reliable. It is the word of God. And who else are we going to listen to in times like these but God Almighty, who is sovereign, the creator of all things? How can we not listen to Him? Maybe it's because we fall into the category sometimes towards the end of this passage. You see, we unquestionably should be serving the sovereign God who supplies every need. One of my favorite realities when you find in Scripture is when God calls somebody, they almost always think, me? And what does God do? He provides every need for that man to go do what God has called him to do. He never leaves them short. If they're faithful to do what God has called them, He never leaves them short so they can go preach the word. We heard last night about someone preaching and not seeing results and not seeing results. You know, there's some biblical characters that saw that. There's a fellow building a boat, and he did a great job of building a boat, but he preached his guts out for how long? How many converts did he have? We could question if even his family listened to him. But God is faithful to His people when they follow Him. And we know in our doctrinal circle that we're going to face more trials than many. If we don't get up and start smiling and telling people how great they are and God loves them just like they are, we're going to run into trials. Because if we're preaching the Word, we're going to tell them what sin is. We're going to tell them the Bible doesn't whisper about any sin. In fact, doesn't the Bible say something rather strong about sin, singular? For the wages of sin, what sin? Sin is what? Does it get any more serious than that? There's not a scripture passage that deals lightly with any kind of sin. So if we're going to preach the word, be prepared. In fact, Jesus said we'd be hated for His name's sake, didn't He? How many of our first century forefathers faced far worse than any of us have ever faced? You know, Brother Harold's story is pretty dramatic, and I had a tear or two coming because I know what he's dealt with. Many of us have, but it doesn't hold a candle to being killed for preaching the truth. And how many of our forefathers in the faith for 2,000 years have faced death, burning, drowning, and so much more for preaching the word? Even our Baptist forefathers in this country face direct, wicked persecution for preaching the word. Should we expect any less? Let's look at the state of our nation today. I don't have to get on a bully pulpit and make something up. Preach the word and it addresses the problems of our country today. We get wrapped up in elections. We get wrapped up in health departments. We get wrapped up in vaccines and masks and everything. Just preach the word. We've got no business wiping away with everything else. Just preach the word. Notice the level of fear in our nation that's caused our nation to become sheep. Why? Because there's this thing called a drought. We think of drought when the rain shuts off. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a drought. A drought that's very similar to one that happened for 400 years between the Old and New Testament. We got a drought of preaching the word. We got a drought of people speaking the truth of God's word. And we see it not just in our culture. Hey, do we get surprised when the unregenerate folks act like unregenerate folks? We shouldn't. What we should be upset about is when folks that are supposedly Christians in church pews act like unregenerate folks. And most of the time, it's because they're not getting preached to with the word of God. I don't care what end times view you have. It ought to give us pause that this world is so desperate to submit to every false hope, to political aspirations, to experts that have demonstrated themselves to be inadequate to the task, and yet they would rather put their faith and trust in them than in the sovereign God who created the world, the sovereign God that holds each and every one of our heartbeats in his hand, every breath we take in his hand. Who are we going to fear? Nobody wants to hear that God is sovereign. That is a wicked phrase in our world. But God is love, and he would never. Which book are you reading? And yet, Scripture says it's appointed unto man wants to die. It also says we can't change that no matter how much we worry. We can't add a single moment to our lives by worrying. How are you going to know that? We got to preach the word. Could it be in part because of the sensitivity, the tone we use? Preaching better not get hung up on tone. Remember, we're Christians, right? Jesus called folks vipers and of their father the devil. He chased folks out of his father's house with a whip and turned over tables. Are we really worried about tone? But what we see unfolding before us, regardless of our theological viewpoints of the end, how it's going to unfold before us, the result, again, comes back to that drought of the preaching of the Word of God. I would venture to say that preachers and pulpits that proclaim the Word unadulterated are shrinking faster than we could even count. I've watched with some interest and with a whole lot of disgust, as many of you have, at what's been unfolding in the Southern Baptist Convention recently. Not that that's a new problem, it's just another example. But especially these last few weeks in this thing called Sermongate. Don't you love it when we get good titles to things, good problems? What began as the appearance of just simply plagiarism, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to give you a confession. I'm 100% sure that I have used somebody else's illustration before and didn't even realize it was somebody else's illustration. I'll be honest. I have probably roughly preached somebody else's outline, whether I intended to or not. Because you know what? There's nothing new. If I'm preaching the Word of God, I'll probably preach something that some of y'all have without ever hearing you preach it. If we're being faithful to the Word. But there's a difference. If I'm preaching the Word, that means I. When prayer and prayer and study and study and study and prayer and study, and we could repeat that several times. If you're not doing all that, we've got a problem in our prep, right? I've got to be in the Word. I'm not going to pay somebody else to do it for me, because then I'm not preaching the Word. They are. I just happen to be the reader. That's not preaching the Word. But you see, in our passage here, Paul was writing to Timothy with this final set of commands or admonitions, so to speak. And there's a reason any self-respecting preacher, any self-respecting presbytery, when they are ordaining a preacher and ordaining a pastor, use this passage, because it is the core of what our responsibility is as preachers and pastors. The responsibility of God's men to preach the word. And we're not even going to go down that rabbit hole that also is addressed by Scripture, that you've got to have an X and a Y chromosome to be a preacher of God's word in the pulpit. But our first responsibility, as described in Acts chapter 6 as well, when it records the first seven deacons being called, says, so the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and the wisdom, who we may put in charge of the task. But we, will do what? We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Brother Harold, a few years ago, the first time I heard him preach at his own conference, and he apologized then too, sort of, but he said it's my conference. But he spoke of the command to love your congregation. I'm going to tell you, of all the messages I've heard, that's the one that has stuck with me all these years I've been coming. Because it's a reminder that, you know what? Just as he has experienced, sometimes it's really hard to love our church. But we're called to. But here's the danger we fall into. And I thought this even when he was preaching about it. Is sometimes we can love them so much that we neglect this. But it's not just when we're doing for people. Hey, at a fault, I will volunteer. I'll go cut a lawn. I'll go cut down a dead tree. I will haul their goods to their new house. I will do, and find myself at the end of the week going, I hadn't spent the work time in the Word. And guess who's at fault? Guess who sinned there? Me. Because my first responsibility as a pastor and as a preacher of the Word of God is to preach the Word of God. And we're supposed to do all things under the Lord. So guess what I'm supposed to do when I'm preparing to preach the Word of God? I'm supposed to give it due diligence and time. And folks, we're busy. Some guys in here are bivocational pastors or have been. Some in here have the luxury and privilege of being a full-time pastor, which means 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I understand that. But the reality is, no matter how much we love our people, no matter how much we get a blessing from helping and doing and all that, plus our family activities, plus everything else, if we shortchange the Word of God, we have failed at job number one as preachers of the Word. But we must continue to follow what the Word says. I remember one of my seminary professors issued a challenge in a class. It was a shock to me. How many of us in here, and I don't normally do this, but how many of us in here grew up in a church where it was nothing but topical preaching? So you get to, if you go to seminary or a college class, a preaching class, and they start talking about expository preaching, you're like, huh? But one of my seminary professors issued a challenge. He said, you want to really challenge yourself? And you want to force yourself to deal with all of the Word of God? Preach through books of the Bible. And I'm like, is he crazy? Now that's almost all I do. I drive my folks crazy. But you know what? How often do we run into stuff when you preach verse by verse by verse by verse? We've heard several people talk about. Guess what? You can't skip the hard stuff. You can't jump over the stuff that's inconvenient or politically incorrect. The stuff that deals with the issues we have in this world today when you preach the Word verse by verse. We're told to preach the full counsel of God's Word. That means don't leave it all, any of it out. You want to really challenge yourself? There's a few of these Old Testament books that you sit there and go, but then you dig in and do due diligence. Guess what? All Scripture is breathed out by God and is sufficient. Not just the fun stuff. Oh, we can preach a series through Titus. That'll last me. Well, if you're Alan Nelson, it might be 6 months. But the rest of us, we could probably preach it in a few weeks. But that's the easy stuff, folks. Preach the Word. All of the Word. Not selected, emotionally comfortable pep rallies while trying to do everything we can to not offend the Karens that sit in our congregation. Ever wonder why it seems people get their theology more from bad hymns and worship songs than they do the Bible? Could it be because so many churches have preachers that don't preach the Word? Further, do we so easily forget that Jesus said we would indeed be hated? Who of us would have even imagined that the highest figures in our denominations today would suggest that the Word whispers about any sin? And here we have in our text, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. This is a reminder here who we're to please. We are not put in pulpits to please the people sitting in the pews. That's hard. I know a lot of preachers that do everything they can. I'm surprised they don't hand out surveys. What would you like me to preach on this week? Because we know a lot of our folks would say, preach on Revelation. But all they're concerned about is those itching ears. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't he just talk about that? We are not to be worried about being people pleasers. Who do we answer to? Who is the judge of the living and the dead? I've heard more than once in talking to fellow preachers, I tell them what I'm preaching, they look at me like I'm crazy. Why are you preaching that? That's going to get you in trouble. Who am I trying to please? I've heard folks say, I would never preach that. Why? Why? It's the Word of God. And I quickly ask, why wouldn't you? Is it not clear enough? We've been told to preach the Word. Paul is recorded in Acts chapter 20. Verses 20 through 27, making a defense of his own preaching. Now, I think Paul is a worthy model. He didn't shirk from his responsibility. He didn't sugarcoat. He didn't take surveys to find out what would be popular. He said, How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. You know what? This may be the last opportunity I get to preach in my life. I've got an hour home, a little over. We know there's plenty of crazy drivers out there. I'm not the best driver in the world myself. We should treat every opportunity we have to preach the Word as our possible last opportunity to preach the Word. For y'all, I hate to say this, but some of y'all, this might be the last opportunity you hear the Word preached. Shouldn't we make the most of the time, redeem the time? Then preach the Word. But all of what Paul said here, this defense of what we need. We should be known not for shrinking or shying away from all that was profitable. Even in the face of an unknown reception or even threats against us. I look at the brothers we have over, especially in Canada, that had their churches shut down, that spent time in jail because they said, I'm not going to shut down because I got to preach. Well, you can preach outside. Well, there was at least one that was arrested for preaching outside. Are we so worried about our own skin? Are we so worried about a paycheck? Are we so worried about a public image that we shrink away from preaching the Word? My Bible says all Scripture is profitable. That means we should preach all of it. If we believe as any genuine, born-again, regenerated, bought soul ought to, that the Bible is the inherent, complete, and sufficient Word of God in all 66 books, if we truly believe that Paul penned in that chapter just prior to our morning text in 2 Timothy, if we really believe that he said all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for that, then do we really love our churches? Do we really love our hearers if we fail to preach all of the Word? Brothers, preach the Word. Do not shrink from declaring the whole purpose of God, as Acts 20:27 says. Moves on to say, be ready to reprove. He's now, Brother Harold introduced me that way. This is instruction. You want to get people. Be ready. Reprove them. Reprove. Rebuke them. Exhort them. Call them to repentance. What do I need to repent for? I'm a pretty good guy. We were reminded yesterday that we preachers ought to be leaders in repenting. My quote that I got, if you hadn't repented since Noah built the boat, your heart's full of sin. That's a great quote. I'm borrowing that. I won't plagiarize it. I'll give credit. But our job, but the way. People acting up. They don't want to hear they're doing wrong. But you got to tell them anyway, don't you? But let's start in the mornings when we get up and look in the mirror. Point a finger. Let's start with us. Because if we're going to effectively preach the word, we need to be living it too. Let's not be like the hypocrites, right? I'm going to take a cheap shot here, though. I've been known for that. Really is part of the concept of cheap shots. Paul said to be ready in season and out. But how can we do that? By being men who at first and always, just as we heard the other day, love the word of God. Be dedicated to prayer and to the ministry. Do we love the word of God? And do we wield it as a sword with a healthy wrist around, armed with a hinge of it? I've got no problem with that. I know too many. But they're armed with a handgun that wouldn't even know how to load it. You want to talk about dangerous? They don't even know which end of the gun to grab and point. But they carry one because it's my right and I might need it. Okay. But don't you think you ought to know how to use it? So you don't hurt yourself and others? And yet, how many people walk around thinking that we know it like a mighty sword? You got to do is abuse it. Love it. You got to do it right in with it. I spend time at the range with my handguns. Why? So I can use it appropriately when necessary. I hope I never have to. I want to be able to use this all the time, in season and out. There's no season on this. I doubt a single man in this room would even consider, even if you could afford it, paying for research. And a team to expect that this is because we care too much. We're at this conference because we care too much about the Word of God to go down that path. We have too much respect for the calling that God has given us. We respect the holy, sovereign Lord and the ministry of the Word. And we care too much about the integrity not only of our pulpits, but of the Word that we're preaching. It's exactly the people we are here, we're speaking with and minister today to play that game. Churches are more often more about exactly the contextual than the church up the road is. To have a pastor more dynamic than any other. To have a preacher has more degrees and commendations on the wall and for being a great orator than any other church. Paul in writing to the church at Corinth put it this way. And when I came to you, brethren, I didn't come with superiority or spirit. What did he come with? It isn't about trying to with eloquence, or get her custom design and create a sermon illustrations, all for $59.99 a week. That likely has more illustrations plagiarized from other sermons than other sermons, or will be plagiarized by those who hear and read your text. You see, it's not about us. If our preaching is all about seeing how big a salary we ourselves, how many know how big a church or our association or denomination puffed up with pride? Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the pulpit for the wrong reason. In fact, we've been reminded of that this week too, haven't we? We exist and function for the glory of God. That is our purpose. And as preachers, you know how we best do that? Preach the word. It's from of his church who invited an area pastor that was well known, actually had a pretty big name. He was a great speaker, big, successful church, and they wanted to have him come preach, and he was known to do that from time to time. He agreed to it preliminarily, but then his secretary called the week before. How many people are you going to see that? Oh, where would people? 100 a week. She said, well, it won't, because he doesn't speak to anywhere like. I have preached to people. I've preached to 300 or 400 people. You know what? I don't treat any of them different. Because my job, no matter who's there, is what? Preach the word. That's a problem, though. Do we view the assembled body of Christ as nothing more than an audience for us to perform to? Then let me put some clown makeup on. Some fancy clothes in the pulpit. Wouldn't y'all like that? Put some clown makeup on if I had skinny jeans on, wouldn't you? See clothes on. We're not here to entertain. But some of y'all can preach so good I'm entertained But it's not because you're trying to entertain, it's because you're preaching the word. And I love hearing the word preached. Some of us here saw shutdowns or near shutdowns because of this virus. You hope that most of us continue but preach each other. We can't let anything shut down the preaching of the word. I know a couple in here that they took their phone out and they preached that phone and put it out there for the world to hear. You know what? At least you preached the word. Thank God for the technology. Some of us may have preached to 3 or 4 people. Some had churches that, no matter the format, at all, didn't discontent of God to stand up, preach the word, to preach sound biblical preaching in this drought that we have in our land. If the water shut off in the first week of May and it didn't rain again until August, how happy are you for one drop to come out of that sky? And that's the condition we have today. And you know what? God, a drought. The word has given us a complete book. And you know what? God's given us his Holy Spirit to empower us. Use it. Water the fields with the water of the gospel and the full counsel of the word of God. If we submit to Paul's charge here, it's just as appropriate. Trap of everyone who the trap of Satan. That we focus on the one thing of the world. That one thing. And it's the preaching of the word. But our passage shifts from the commands and charge to the why. You know, it's one of the things. My mama, When I was growing up, my mama would tell me to do something. I'd go, why? Well, that was a mistake. Usually I wind up with a red mark right here. When I was little. When I got older, she said, because I wonderfully faithful. Mandy always tell her, he gives us the reason. Wonderfully faithful. That's more generous than my mama was. But why preach the word? Why? Open your eyes, turn on the TV, you'll see why. But the word says it right here. So let's preach the word. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears and never step for truth and will turn aside to myth. These are the folks you've been talking about. These are the folks you've been trying to minister. Never step foot in the church. People in the church are going to turn from. Now, wait a minute. Did he have a time machine and come to today in the United States of America? No. It's the perfect word of God. God knew. God recorded it because it was a problem then. But ladies and gentlemen, it's a real problem now. And stop and reflect for just a moment. Simply, how many of us have read this? What sure seems like the fulfillment and done this of that time to come. And it isn't just people outside the church. We expect them to act that way. The world seeks what pleases the flesh. The unregenerate, the unrepentant, they don't care what the Word of God says. They've never cared for the truth. They are a child of perdition. They think that the truth and love lies. All the time. Why aren't we leave a separation like that from the chaff, the sheep from the goats? Why aren't we gathered together at this conference? As Brother Hare likes to say, he and his church are honored to encourage preachers of grace. Preachers of the true biblical doctrines that if you preach the word, come out. You know what? It's been mentioned already. I don't have to get up in front of my church. T means total depravity. They're going to pick you. I don't have to go because the word of God because it explains itself. It gives the doctrine that we need to follow. I got a phone call from a friend I've shared with some of y'all this week. From a friend in South Arkansas, their pastor, they're not calling it firing, but the deacons brought him in and said, you'll either resign or we'll fire you. This has been accused of that. Many of us would do. And he banned, he was accused of Hillsong and Bethel, accused of that in his church. I don't know about you, but that sounded pretty good to me. But that pushed the wrong buttons. And it was all because he believed in preaching the word to bring about sound doctrine. churches don't want to hear sound doctrine, especially if they hadn't heard a lot of it before. Sue it in the doctrine. Doctrine that is 100%, by the way, handed down by the apostle from heaven should preach to you. Sue it in the Galatians chapter to that which we have preached to you. He is to be accursed. Ladies and gentlemen, we got pulpits filled with accursed gospels. Because we who know the gospel must stand up and preach the gospel, to preach the full counsel of God. Yet folks buy it because they have not heard sound preaching of the word. The reality is, if one preacher, they take away doctrines consistently, you will encounter it. The doctrines of grace are sin. They take away any. If we can lay claim to our own salvation by our own actions or decisions, if we have a genuine monergistic view of salvation, that it's 100% in the hands of God, we ought to be the most joy-filled people in the world. Because if it's in my hands, I got no hope. But it's in the hands of Almighty God, the creator of heavens and earth, who holds my life in his hands. My salvation is 100% in his hands. I can rejoice. I know he's got it. In our land, having the word. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got more access to this today than at any time in history. Not only can you get print ones, you can get it in a translation that you can understand. I don't care how dim you are. You can get it in Braille. You can get it on your phone, on your iPad. You can get it for free. You can get it in any format, anywhere. And in fact, it's so available now that even in countries where they ban the Bible, people get the Bible. But we preach the word. And it's led to the problems Paul wrote of here. People that won't endure sound doctrine. People wanting their ears tickled. People who accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the call for a pastor in the majority of churches today. I don't care the denomination out there. Truth. Sad of these symptoms listed is that they turn literally every single doctrine and parachurch fad being peddled from pulpits today are the manifestation of this. Myths in place of truth. Whether it's the social justice, false gospels of critical race theory and intersectionality, these are all perspectives that say functionally the gospel is not enough. Scripture is insufficient. And if you watch all of them, God, you will see how they bend, twist, and act with the God has said. They transplant their modern psychobabble and false doctrines because they stroke the ego and offer an opportunity to brag of one's own self-righteousness. You see, when we preach the word, the whole word, and nothing but the word, and do not shy away from any of the full counsel of God's word, it will eventually address, they get mad at you, idols and myths. And we, but what happens when you destroy the word? They get mad at you. It will eventually address every idol, every myth. It will put the lie to the false man-made doctrines and ideas. It'll convict of error. And when necessary, it will call to repentance. And to faithfully do that, we need to heed the charge in the last verse here before we close. Be sober. But he said, enduring and things, endure hard to it. But he says, your ministry. Be sober. The Greek word napho, meaning to be level-minded, to be sober of thought, to be circumspect. If we run around and abuse the pulpit and the position based on emotions and feelings, if we allow the distinctions of this world to dictate what we preach, or as I've heard, letting greeting card companies dictate our preaching calendar, we got a problem. Let's be level-minded, straight. It says endure with ups. Again, Jesus never promised to walk in the park. But in this case, hardships are an understood part of preaching, and especially pastoral ministry. And in this case, the warning is actually even more a reference to the hardships that will come from within the body of believers, as that's the most painful and difficult to endure. There's nudging them like being blindsided by a church, but stabs you in the back, or even to endure it. Nudging the local church and preach the word. And he says, do the work of an evangelist. This is often puzzling to me, is that it seems almost out of context. Some debate if what Timothy's calling even was, what his position was, or if maybe this was some kind of new job or office in the church. In fact, if your church is big, you see, pastor of by Christ, we are all called. But that's you're a preacher and pastor, or just a redeemed person to be an evangelist. We've all got a job of that. Now, some of us are more gifted than others. There's probably men in this room that could evangelize rings around me. But we're all called because it's part of the Word. But what we can know is that we all are a song out there to be does it. But let's not contribute to St. Francis of Assisi. You've probably heard it. In all things, preach the gospel, use words if you must. Doesn't the scripture say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? How are you going to do that? Yes, live out the reality of the gospel in your life. But no, we must preach if you aren't prepared. Especially as a passionate, being that preacher that bears the message. Then what are we doing being behind the pulpit? But ultimately, the final part of this command, fulfill your ministry. We might could parallel this really well with Paul's admonition to run the race. When is retirement? I got a Bible. Have you found that? You said I hadn't found it. I've been asked about that. So what are your plans? I got way too many years at home. I hadn't found it here. But fulfill your ministry. We were reminded yesterday that really we never do. Because our ministry doesn't end until God calls us home. Even pastors that have actually physically retired, if they're honest with you, guess what? They're still ready in season and out to preach the word when called on. Every one of us has the ministry, though. It begins and ends with the word of God where we come from. Each of us has a unique state in other states. My church is like none of y'all's. Brother Harold can tell you that. His church is like none of ours. You know what? I wouldn't want to pastor your church, but I love your church. But that being said, we all have a context for our ministry, and we are called to fulfill it. Not shop around all the time looking for another field. Oh, that field looks much greener. The word. No. Wherever called to preach the words of life to a dying church. Others may be called to a ministry that literally is to shut down gracefully a church. Some of us may be called and help usher in a grand growth and revival in a community. What a wonderful blessing. But I don't care where God has put you. Preach the word. Simply fulfill. And it comes back as Isaiah's. I am Lord. To fulfill that and do it. We don't have to get up and preach sermons on topics, theological treatises, pick a passage and beat a social issue, because the Word of God is sufficient. So brothers and sisters, we must preach the Word of God, because we